This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby. It's a Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. And shout out to everybody out there watching our YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. Good morning, everybody out there. Get out to graveyard shift. If you're at work, what is happening? Hopefully you have some working headphones here, because I don't know. Do my headphones work? Talk, Shasky. Talk.
Is there a snare in my headphones?
There's a snare in my headphones. Yay! We don't have a broken pair of headphones in here. Good morning, everybody out there, man. Hopefully you enjoyed the NBA yesterday. We got a lot of Niner talk coming up. Anthony Slater, 8:30. Ted Wynn, 9:20 from The Athletic. Good friend. He breaks down football. It's kind of like a mini Baldy, man. He really dives into the film. So we'll try to figure out what the hell's going on with the scheme with Kyle Shanahan. Defensively, what's going on? Has Fred Warner lost a step in the second half of the season? What's going on with him? But good morning, Shasky. What's going on, man?
Nothing. You know, I think we're all just kind of reeling after that Niner loss. And you're looking at this game this Sunday and you're saying, like, wow, like there's a lot on the line here. And obviously, the season being on the line. And, you know, there's guys' jobs and longevity and contracts. And there's just so much going on right now with the 49ers. And I went on a deep dive this morning. I know. The two of us were almost in like dead silence in the other room, just trying to figure out like what's wrong with this team.
Well, I thought it was when I walked in, everybody got silent.
No, I think every morning I come in, I'm pretty chill. I mean, unless I have rant that I have to go on.
I'm kidding.
I was talking to you.
Yeah, you're the only one. My producer didn't even talk to me.
I tried to talk to you. You didn't respond.
Only on show calls when he needs takes. No, I'm kidding. Laugh a little bit, everybody. It's a Wednesday. It's the holidays, right? It's supposed to be jolly. We need to join our life desperately. So your deep dive, Shasky. Tell me about the deep dive.
I'm just trying to find what's going on. And, like, you look at the raw numbers for this team, and there's so many raw numbers that look so good. But then when you dive a little deeper, to me, it comes down to situational football. And obviously, special teams has played a huge factor in swinging big momentum in these games. And you're not going to see a lot of that in a box score. You're not going to see that in overall team defense or overall team offense. And I look at this number, and you tell me what you make of this. Last year, okay, in the fourth quarter, the Niners gave up 3.7 points per game. This year, they're giving up almost 9. And I don't think that's all on the defense. I think it's short fields. I think it's unfortunate special teams blunders. I think it's the offense stalling out, and then the defense having to go back on out there after a long drive. And like, this reminds me a lot of what you saw during kind of like that Singletary era, where when you don't play complementary football in all three phases, things bite you in the butt, and you look up and you're like, you're looking to who to blame, and is it the quarterback, and is it the DC? Is it no, the team is not playing a complementary brand of football, and it feels like they can't get off the field in certain situations. Simultaneously, they're not punching in touchdowns, so you don't have that extra cushion and that extra margin of error. And I just the common theme in all of these losses is like the other team in the fourth quarter finishes strong, and the Niners finish meagly.
I'm looking at the schedule, just looking at it, and there's no doubt the eye test will tell you in the fourth quarter they have to shut things down. I do think the number is a little inflated when I think about some of these games, like the Cowboys scored a couple touchdowns late in the fourth quarter to make it a game. Jets scored late. Seattle scored late on Thursday Night Football. But to your point about the fourth quarter and not finishing, yes, it is both offensive, defense, and special teams. It's been a collective group effort on how not to finish football games, whether it's the punt return team fumbling the punt return or not containing on the punt team like you saw in Week 3 against the L.A. Rams. Maybe it's the Arizona Cardinals where you have a Jordan Mason fumble when you're trying to ice the game. We know all the games. We can play it through our heads here about how they're not finishing in the fourth quarter, but that, I think that's a microcosm. See, the problem is I think it's sports. It happened the other day with the Warriors and the Clippers. We're all going to look at the end of the game and say, boy, they didn't make a shot. GP2 missed a shot at the end of the game. But you brought up situational football. I'll bring up situational basketball. The end of the first half, you give up a layup to Norman Powell. End of the third quarter, it's tied up. You hold the Clippers at 16 points. And Amir Coffey's off balance, and you foul him at the three-point line, and he makes three free throws to get the Clippers a three-point lead going into the fourth quarter. Now, you lose by three. Those are 5 points right there. Could be the difference in the football, in the basketball game. Same thing in football, where you're thinking to yourself, boy, you're not putting these teams away in the first half when you have the opportunity. You're not taking advantage of goal line situations like the Vikings where you have a fourth and goal and you don't convert. And you know Sam Darnold goes over the top to Justin Jefferson for 99 yards. The L.A. Rams, you don't put them away in the third quarter. You're up 21-7, but you're letting the game kind of play around and just hang there in the balance. And Jake Moody misses a field goal, and that's when you know you got a different ball game. Situational football all throughout the game that leads up to the fourth quarter where you don't have the margin for error. We're like, oh, boy, they're one play away from making something happen. They're one play away from making something happen. That's what happened with Seattle. That's what happened with the Cardinals. That's what happened with the Rams. That's what's happening with the Vikings. You're not finishing in the red zone, and you're not doing it in the first three quarters of the football game to where you got to now rely on the fourth quarter where you don't have the same personnel you had in years past. So it's maybe just one of those years. Maybe it's just one of those years when you have a lot of moving parts coming in and out of the lineup, defensively and offensively, with all the injuries or whatnot. I think it's just, you're 5-5, and it kind of screams why you're 5-5. Just look at the games.
Yeah, it's just, I think we were, you know, conditioned from last year because they were such a juggernaut that when they get up on a team, they're just going to run them out of the building, and then they're going to suffocate them in the fourth quarter. And like, you referenced some of the late touchdowns against like the Jets, for example. I mean, they scored with 25 seconds left on the clock. That game was a blowout. Like, whatever.
The Cowboys were down 30-10.
Yes, but. In last year, they beat them, you know, 40-something to 10. Yeah, whereas this year, Dak has the ball back with a chance to take the lead at the end of the game. And I think that's kind of the difference between this year and last year. Is it's not necessarily that you allow teams back in. It's like, oh my God, they've got a chance to not only tie the game, but win the game in the final possession. And yeah, I do think as much as I'm focused on the defense, and I have been focused, like the offense has not been able to punch it in. And I think that their red zone woes from early in games really catches up to them late in games, and you look back and you go, God, we should have cashed one in. And when you don't, I feel like that boulder on your shoulder gets heavier and heavier. And I mean, they're 29th right now in EPA plays yards allowed in the fourth quarter. 29th. It's
what's EPA get for the people who
expected
don't know?
Play allowed. And it's just it's not a good number. I mean, in the first quarter they're fourth. Second quarter, they're 7th. Third quarter, they're 12th. And in the fourth quarter, 29th as a defense. Last year, they were top 10 in all of them.
Yeah, but you know what? Last year was different.
No doubt.
We have to stop comparing last year to this year because you didn't have Christian McCaffrey for You've well, only had him the last two games. Defensively, you're even different. You don't have Drake Greenlaw. And Hufanga played most of the season. You know, he didn't tear his ACL until the middle of November. So you don't have Drake Greenlaw this year. You had him all last season playing at an all-pro level. Javon Hargrave, whether or not we liked him, he was in that lineup. Now, Eric Armstead battled injuries, but you still had him on the roster. You did bring in Chase Young and Randy Gregory. You know what? I don't know what's been worse, Chase Young, Randy Gregory, or Leonard Floyd. I have no idea. So that position's a wash. But Bosa was better last season, I believe. Even though he held out last year, I still felt like he had bigger impact last year than this year. So, and then you look offensively, obviously, yeah, Brandon Ayuk, who's having a career season. Deebo Samuel's going for over 1,000. You know, even though he had the three-game exodus where he got hurt in Cleveland, Deebo Samuel. You know, George Kittle had over 1,000 yards. This team was just completely different last season. They were completely different, and they were more explosive. You don't have that this year. So when you think about their offense, what did he play, three games?
Yeah.
Four games, five games? Got hurt in Kansas City. McCaffrey's played in two games. Kittle's missed action. Deebo's missed action. It's just not it's just not the same team. And I think that's what we have to come to grips with. Even though our expectations were high, the team's just completely different. The omens are there, but the team is different. With all the injuries, with all the, you know, it's just a different roster, man, and we should have probably saw this coming. We underestimated Drake Greenlaw's absence. We underestimated Chris McCaffrey's absence. Jordan Mason's not Christian McCaffrey. It's just not.
Well, Jordan Mason is not Christian McCaffrey, but he was a top five rusher and on pace for a top five rushing season. Now, again, it was.
But didn't have the impact that CMC had. He didn't have the impact.
Well, that's in the passing game and in the red zone. Yeah, there's no doubt he wasn't punching it in. I mean, McCaffrey was good for a touchdown a game. But it's not like he wasn't really good, right?
No,
like
I didn't say that he wasn't good. He's just not Christian McCaffrey.
For sure.
Mason was good. Christian McCaffrey was all world last season.
There's no doubt.
All world.
But, like, the Niners aren't the only team in the league that battles injuries. You know, I mean, Kansas City lost their top wideout, and they're still plugging along in terms of their offense. And though not historic or whatever, like, they're finding ways to win games. I just think the overall arch of this team is, for whatever reason, in the second half, all of these mistakes and everything just keep coming back. And these blown leads have now become a thing. And I don't know if it's in their heads, per se. I don't think guys are thinking about that when they're playing. That I dismiss that, but there's something there, and I think they're going to look up at the end of the year, and they're either going to be a game short of clinching the division, or they're going to face an opponent they don't want to be facing because of their record if they find a way to win the division. And I think we're going to be looking back at all of these different opportunities and moments throughout the year with regret.
888-957-9570 is a number. Is this the game of the year for the 49ers? Is this where the season falls apart if you lose? Is this a must-win game? Are they all must-win games? 888-957-9570. What was alarming yesterday is when we had Baldy on, and he was discussing Christian McCaffrey. And he's talking about Christian McCaffrey, and, you know, Greg Cosell was on last week with Willard and Dibbs, and he was talking about, you know, Christian McCaffrey looked like Christian McCaffrey to me, and I was thinking to myself, I'm no expert. I'm not in the film room like Greg Cosell, but they look like Christian McCaffrey to me. They look like he had that same burst. Well, we asked our NFL expert, Brian Baldinger, how does Christian McCaffrey look? Here's what he had to say.
He doesn't look special. He just doesn't. And so Mason, he hit that first run of his 8 yards up the middle.
Yeah.
Like, he hit that whole like we've been watching him hit it all year.
Right.
You know, where he was second in the league in rushing a couple weeks ago. Like, he hit the hole the way he's supposed to hit the hole. And so I think, who knows what's being said? Obviously, they're not sustaining offense where you could get the number of carries that you want. Although they had 27 carries, you know, some of them obviously are scrambles by Brock. But the way Jordan hit that first run, I'm like, that's what they need. They just need somebody just to, like, just be a bullet right through those between the line. And then he always, you know, he's taking the pile with him. So I don't know. Like, I think Kyle probably thinks that when we get to the postseason, if we get to the postseason, we're going to need McCaffrey at his best. Let's play him into shape. And I think that might be part of it. But that was not an impressive run game by the 49ers on Sunday.
And it hasn't been impressive the last 2 weeks with Christian McCaffrey. And that's a huge difference in this offense. He was all world last year. He was special getting to the second level, making people miss, breaking long runs in the pass game. Even in the pass game when he's running routes, he's not fooling anybody. His route running's been a bit sloppy because I don't think he can cut as well as you can with the bilateral Achilles tendonitis. I mean, what did we expect? He's just not the same player.
Yeah, it sucks. I don't know what else to say. Like, you don't see that same explosion and that cutback. And it's funny, like, all the various film watchers are going to have differing opinions. But his point about Jordan Mason, when Jordan Mason came in and he had a little burst, I think a lot of people felt that way. And not that we want Jordan Mason to take CMC's, you know, spot in the pecking order. We're just saying, like, you know, mix it up a little. Just, and I don't think that's the end-all, be-all to the cure of what their offense is. I think their offense, they've got some issues that are a little deeper than that. Personnel wise, like without George Kittle, I just think that they're just, Saubert is not a threat in any way on either side. And, you know, obviously Pearsall as a rookie is going to have some ups and downs. You know, he's not Brandon Ayuk. He's just not. Brandon Ayuk's a very good player and they miss him a lot for, you know, what he does to coverage, you know, getting open, being a trusted agent of Brock Purdy's. Like, I think there's a lot that we can't see on our television screens that is being played out, and it's reason why. And I also like the offensive line. They've got a couple weak spots. Like, that's a spot, like, McKivitz has not been good, and Jake Brendel hasn't been great. Pooney's been awesome. I think Banks has had kind of a down year from what my expectations were from him. So I think all of these things, as well as, I don't know if Brock's seeing it as well as he did last year at this time, which I think is a fair thing to say. We all like Brock, but, you know, I was watching some videos yesterday of the arm and people saying he got hit versus Arizona. Maybe the shoulder's a little stiff, and I can't speak to that, but he does look a little hesitant at times.
Yeah, I saw a lot yesterday on the internet. Somebody sent this to me. I think I sent it to the thread I just texted. But a lot of people are saying the shoulder injury, because he is day-to-day with the shoulder injury. Kyle Shanahan announced that Monday during his conference call. Day-to-day with a shoulder. And a lot of people saying his arm didn't look that strong. Didn't look like he had that much zip. And when you're going to get to Green Bay, this gets a little colder. You get to Buffalo, the wind blows over there, Orchard Park, formerly Rich Stadium. I think it's called, New Era Field, maybe? I don't remember, but it's formerly known as Rich Stadium. Anyway, you're going to need a strong arm to throw those elements, especially in Buffalo.
Highmark Stadium.
Yeah, that's what it's called. What's now. Highmark Stadium. Huh. It's something to monitor here. Is Purdy fatigued? Arm fatigue? Shoulder fatigue? Did he get hit? I don't know what's going on here. But I do want to talk to Niner fans about this. One, Green Bay, must win, obviously. I think it's a must win. I think we can answer that ourselves. But if you want Shanahan to evolve, if you still want him as a head coach, that's another conversation. But if you want him to evolve, what is it that he needs to evolve in? Is it play calling? Is it decision-making? Is it formations? Is it motions? Is it personnel? Is it his passing game? Where would you like to see Shanahan evolve? Because trying to tweak the offense midway through the year, probably not going to happen. This is going to be an off-season conversation for Kyle Shanahan, because the passing game does look outdated. When you don't throw outside the numbers, and you don't throw it down the football field in today's game, you're going to have a hard time when he got a high level.
You know, it's crazy. It's like some of the rhetoric regarding Kyle Shanahan, he stinks. It's like, no, he doesn't stink. But, like, the offense still is prolific in terms of, like, accumulating yardage. I know that the explosives aren't there like they used
to be.
But they're still marching down the field. And I think the hard part for me is that they've had specific situational penalties, because you look up, they're not the most penalized team in the league. In fact, they're kind of like, you know, they've been actually buttoned up in that. To me, it's like you're 3rd and 1 the other day, 3rd and 1, and then you go to 3rd and 11, right? Because of a hold on the outside. You get a good Deebo Samuel run and Juwan Jennings gets caught for a hold on the edge, right? And it's just, it's a stinger. And so I just...
You know what, though?
I think plays are there to be had, I guess.
Plays
is what
are
I'm
there.
Going.
Plays are there to be had, but could you say that every team kind of gets yards? Like, every team, it feels like, kind of gets yards. And I mentioned this yesterday, that the Niners were in the top five in terms of passing yards and total yards and all this stuff. And they're getting prolific yards. But you can't really be prolific if you don't score points. You know, when I think prolific, I think last year's offense. I think greatest show on turf. I think the 2007 Patriots. I think the Falcons that Shanahan coaches an offense. When they invest this, when I think prolific, I think, whoa, down the field passing, deep shots, so one-play drives, two-play drives, 70 yards, big explosive plays. When I look at this offense, I don't see prolific. I see another P word. It's predictable. That's what I see with this offense because of the personnel that has been in and out of the lineup. So yes, they're moving the football. Yeah, absolutely. They're moving the football for sure. But when you don't convert to red zone, because it's so easy in today's NFL, I'm not going to say it's so easy, but it's advantageous for the offense to move the football and get a couple first downs. Think about it. You get the ball at the 30-yard line, you get a couple first downs, you're already crossing midfield. So in today's game, you get to the 35-yard line, you're in field goal range for the most part. Now, whether or not these kickers are hitting it is one thing, but I look at the red zone area as the biggest issue.
Well, and it feels like they're not scoring outside the red zone on the deep balls. Like, the Pearsall play a couple weeks ago was one of the first big explosion 40-plus-yard plays.
That's prolific,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You haven't seen enough of that.
No.
You haven't seen enough of that at all. So we'll talk more Niners here. Juan Soto's going to visit the Dodgers. Celtics, Cavs last night. What a game. Draymond Green speaks out on Taylor Jenkins and Kendrick Perkins. Maybe we could pull the Kendrick Perkins out to what he said about Draymond Green, and then we could play what Draymond Green had to say. We got the Warriors and the Hawks. And look, it's not going to be an easy game for the Golden State Warriors, man. Just kind of watching the Kings game yesterday between the Hawks and the Kings and some of their numbers. Dyson Daniels. Did you know Dyson Daniels has 31 steals in his last 7 games with the Hawks? Jalen Williams is second in the league with 33 steals. So you got to watch out for the Hawks, man. They got sticky hands, man. Sticky hands. 888-957-9570 is the number. I see your calls out there. We'll get to everybody here on the Warriors Wednesday. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, it's Verducci from EDH, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Sprinkle me, man.
All right, don't forget to tune in to Warriors Live today, presented by Xfinity Stream Sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. Don't forget Anthony Slater, 8:30, to talk some Doves and Hawks. Ted Wynn from The Athletic breaks it down. We'll get to some schematics with the 49ers here. Why they throw hot so quick on third and longs. Why teams can just zero in and blitz them, and they know exactly where to go on these blitzes. Don't forget all casts on 95.7 Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop here? And just on the Comcast Business Text Line, Shasky, a couple people say, what does Shanahan need to do? What does he need to do to evolve? There's a couple texts here. 405, Shanahan needs to evolve in personnel. He has a type when it comes to quarterbacks, and he needs to let it go and actually try something new. Also, he needs to address the O-line. 408, I want them to hire an OC or an assistant for Kyle. Some fresh eyes. 209, humility. Kyle needs to realize he is not the smartest guy in the room. He needs to humble up and acknowledge he has a part in the failure. What he did to Steve Wilkes was not cool. Kyle has nowhere left to hide.
I don't know about Steve Wilkes, but I will say this, that I still believe that this offense is a good offense. I still believe that he's a really good coach, and he's a really good play caller. And part of why you're paying him all the money that you're paying him is because on game day, he does do a great job dialing things up. And I do believe that there are plays out there. Has it gotten a little predictable with Deebo Samuel in the backfield being utilized the way that he's probably being utilized? Yeah. But they're also paying him a lot of money, and they're trying to maximize their return on that. And they're also doing it without Brandon Ayuk. And so I think when they structured what they were going to do this year, I don't know. I think they've kind of limited themselves because of the injuries, which it just happens. And in a game where you don't have Kittle and you don't have Ayuk, yeah, Deebo looked very pedestrian. You know, I still think that we're going to get a Deebo game. I know we are. I don't think he's finished. I know everyone's ready to throw him in the casket. I don't think he's done. I don't think Kyle's lost it. I still think there's plays to be had out there. And I just think that right now, execution is really just a big problem for them. Look, there's some little things that I like. I want to see them throw the ball into the end zone, right? For example, I feel like they throw short of the end zone and you have to break a couple tackles and get in.
What if it's because your wide receivers can't get separation?
It's entirely plausible.
What if it's because your wide receivers don't have the speed to get open in short area quickness?
Well, that's where I'd like to target there's no doubt. Like, I don't think Juwan Jennings is some elite route runner, but he's a guy that is a matchup nightmare because he can box dudes out. And so I think that you have to run specific plays for guys like him, the bigger body guys, and getting Kittle back would help them in the red zone. Like, they did it, though, for a couple weeks when Kittle came back and was healthy. He's like, hey, we're just going to throw a couple up to you. And Kittle made two beautiful, I mean, you could say they were two of his six best catches of his career in the red zone.
Well, here's what I want from Shanahan.
Yeah, what do you
the
want?
The evolution. Instead of saying, hey, throw it to the open guy, let's just, hey, this play's for you. We're giving you the target. We're identifying you 10 times a game. And what I mean by that is, you know, you watch the game back, and I had no idea why Ricky Pearsall had two targets. No clue. I was trying to figure it out. Like, was he just not open? Mm-hmm. I didn't see. Because watching the game, you're watching Brock with the ball.
Yeah.
You're watching everybody. You're like, boy, I don't know if there's a lot of places to throw. Then you watch it back and just watch. It actually fired up the All-22 for some reason. I don't know why. I had stayed away from it for a couple years because the internet ruined it. But I do think Ricky Pearsall is a guy who gets separation. And I do think Ricky Pearsall runs some damn good routes. And I would identify Ricky Pearsall and say, you know what, Ricky? Here's eight targets. We're carving out eight targets for you per game moving forward. Because I do think he's the best route runner right now on the football team. It's crazy, right? But I think he's the best route runner on the team. I give him eight targets a game.
Is that Brock not looking his way, or because of the play Brock, progressions, he's like lower on the pecking order?
I can't really answer that.
Okay.
Because I don't know what the primary receiver is. Yeah. I don't know who the third option is, but Brock's not looking his way a lot.
Gotcha.
You know, he's kind of cluing in on Debo, cluing in on Juwan Jennings, which is fine. Juwan Jennings had a big game, but get Ricky Pearsall involved. I need to see him get eight. I know what I saw at Tampa Bay. I mean, the 46-yard catch and run, wow. Oh, I didn't know Ricky Pearsall had that in his bag. And then you look at the final drive and the two catches when you need to have a catch and you need to win the game. He went to Pearsall twice and he came through for you. Mm. Tough catch over the middle of the field. This guy's got hands. He's tough. And then you watch it back and like, oh, wait, Ricky Pearsall was uncovering a little bit. Oh, wait, Ricky Pearsall can beat his man. Wait, if you press Ricky Pearsall, you may get beat. So what I want to see in the evolution of Kyle Shanahan is force feed some of these guys. Just say, you know what, the hell with throwing to the open man. This is the play. I want you to target Ricky Pearsall and go to this guy and give him 8 to 10 targets a game. Especially if you're going to be 5-5 and moving forward. I got this first round pick. I need to see how much I could put on his plate.
Yeah, there was a specific play where he ran in like an out pattern, and I thought he was going to be able to get a first down. And if Brock's throwing with anticipation, knowing that he's going to him, to me it's a, but it's easy for me to sit here and say that. But like to me, it was an easy first down. Brock wasn't looking his way at all. It felt like he was settling for the check down, and I think he was feeling the heat at that point in the game because of the various pressures that they brought his way. And he was either looking to run or check down instead of looking downfield. And I think that's been, to me, that's been one of the more bigger themes over the last month is instead of looking deep, Brock is forced to either scramble early and put his head down or, you know, he's looking for the juice CMC check down as opposed to maybe the wide receivers on the outside of the field.
Heck, I don't even know if he's checking it down enough. I thought he ignored some of the checkdowns. He ignored the checkdowns last week, so I'm not sure what's going on with Brock Purdy. Let's go to Vince real quick and ask that.
Yeah.
Vince, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I just wanted to ask you guys real quick, what do you guys think was the reasoning for the lack of production from Debo against Seattle? He's a playmaker. He's a solidified stud, right? He's Mr. Utility. He can do it all. He had like four targets, it felt like. And then there was a deep dig route that he ran, and Brock throws it like 3 yards over his head and behind him. You know, I understand Juwan Jennings is, he's a steal, right? He's a diamond in the rough that we got because that dude's a baller. But you also got to spread the ball around it. I don't think, kind of like what you were just talking about, Chasky, he's not, I don't know if he's not seeing it or if it's the O-line not holding up long enough for him to see it, but he was also doing a lot of scrambling out of the backfield, and I don't know. Is it because guys can't get open? Is it because he doesn't have time? But mainly it's like you got to get your playmakers the ball. And there was only, you know, Devo and JJ was really in there because also, like you guys said, CMC doesn't – he's not there yet. He's only his second game back, but – I don't know. I just feel like if you have a playmaker, you get your guy the ball. And he, I just don't think he got enough looks.
Well, and also he had a couple of runs. Well, at least one in particular on the edge that was going to get them a first down, which was a really nice run, called back on a holding call, I believe by Juwan Jennings on the left side. The throw that you're alluding to is was it second and 10 or whatever it was late in the game that he just airmailed on Debo. I mean, this is
second and 11. Yeah,
this is a bad throw. I mean, it's just a really bad throw by Brock Purdy that he's got to hit. And that's the one that he's kind of – it's a hallmark play of the 49ers offense.
Yeah, and he talked about Debo getting targets. Debo has – he received 7 targets. But the way Debo was utilized in the pass game, it felt like they just used him as the underneath guy. Hey, you're going to run 4-yard drag routes, 4-yard slants, 4-yard crossers – whatever. Here you go. 4 catches, 22 yards. I like to see him get in space because one thing about Deebo Samuel is what's not been utilized is getting him in space because in one-on-one situations, he could break a tackle and go turn a 10-yard catch into a 50-yard catch. Like, you don't see that much this year with Deebo Samuel. So getting him in space and getting him on the move, whether it's a drag route or whatever, you think about the drag route against Detroit, big play in the third quarter to get them back into the football game. You don't see much of that right now with Deebo Samuel or Kyle Shanahan getting him in space. So I'm not sure if he's able to do it. I'm not sure if he still has that wiggle. But right now it just feels like, hey, Deebo, we're in a 5-yard comeback route or something in the middle of the field where it's all congested. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Get him in space. Get him in one-on-one situations where he could break a tackle.
Yeah, I just feel like anytime he's in the backfield right now and he starts motioning and moving around, it feels pretty predictable that he's getting the ball almost immediately on some sort of a toss or a jet sweep. I want to see him and CMC in the backfield simultaneously on passing situations so he can get lined up on a linebacker. I think that's what you're trying to utilize him out of the backfield in a running back way. Like, that's what I would be trying to do. And then where did all the tunnel screens go? You know, the hallmark of a couple of years ago, they would throw those. Now it seems like they only throw them on third and forever situations. And it's like, hey, Debo, be a battering ram.
You know, it's crazy, though.
I love that.
It's crazy, though, that they just had their lowest yardage total in a couple years. And the third lowest, I believe, under Kyle Shanahan.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, in terms of total yards.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
And yet they're still second in the league in yards per game. So that's why I kind of scoff at the whole fire Shanahan thing.
Well, I think it's absurd.
Yeah, it's very absurd.
But Bonte, the thing that I'm trying to like wrap my head around, and you kind of said it's like, They I'm looking at their score logs from last year. They would score so much last year, and this year they're just not scoring the same way. And it's not just because of the kicker.
It's red zone. It's red zone. They're 20-41 in red zone, under 50%. Under 50%. That's been the theme of the season. All right, Mike and Hayward will get to you because he's got a thought on Shanahan, Kevin Cupertino, Rob in Dublin. Everybody's going to get here, get on the show. And that'll be brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises.
Hey, it's Brian from San Ramon. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Shanahan, run the ball.
Well, there's no running lanes right now for the 49ers, so I know he's trying to run the ball. As the segment is sponsored by Go to State, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. Niners lose to the Seahawks 20-17. They get ready for the 7-3 Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field. A 1:25 kick Sunday afternoon. Cannot wait for that game. Brady might be on the call for that one. I'm not sure if he is or not, but the Niners need to win desperately, Shasky, desperately. Or, you know what? They don't win on Sunday. We're probably talking about what needs to change in the offseason.
Gosh, I mean, it's just there's a lot of things going on right now with this game, and I'm thinking about the LaFleur-Shanahan matchup, and one of Shanahan's best wins ever as a coach was probably the game in Green Bay with Jimmy Garoppolo in the playoffs against Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's like one of those signature victories for a head coach, and so, you know, this is a guy that he's very familiar with, and last year, it taught me, wow, LaFleur's right. got some saltiness to him towards mm-hmm. Shanahan. So I think this is like a budding rivalry. I like this matchup a lot for both sides.
Well, it's been a matchup there for, you know, quite some time. Now you get the quarterbacks in, and Green Bay, of course, it's not going to forget what happened in the divisional round game at Levi Stadium. They felt like they let one get away. Anders Carlson misses a kick in the fourth quarter. They're up 21-17. Niners go down, score. It's 24-21. I love inexplicably throws a ball across the field to Dre Greenlaw, and he gets picked off there. But Green Bay controlled that football game for the first three quarters, man, and Brock did not look right. 888-957-9570 is the number. We get to the calls here in just a second. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, you've kind of alluded to the weather being a factor, maybe, in Green maybe. Bay, and just how weather has affected Brock at times. I thought the field was really slippery on Sunday, and it was like a little mist. It wasn't, I'm not saying it was rain, but it was right. like a little mist, and I don't know, man. Their whole timing was off as an offense. It just felt like to me, and I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just literally saying that they looked off, whether it was footing, you know, not having the right feel for the ball, whatever it was. They got to be right on offense. And I think that this is a team, and as much as I want to point the finger at the defense, like, they're going to be offensive-driven. They have an offensive-driven head coach. They have a lot of firepower still on the offensive side of the ball, and I believe they have an upper-echelon quarterback, and they need to come out and play well like that.
Baldy on the lack of explosion on offense.
They had one explosive play on offense. They can't get the ball down the field. And, you know, it's always been a hallmark of any coach team by Kyle is they're going to get explosive plays. And you can literally – there's all kinds, I mean, there's a million stats out there. But you got to track explosive plays in this game. They change the game. And they change field position, and they give you the jolt of electricity you need. They couldn't get the ball down the field. I mean, they had one play last week by Jennings of 22 yards, and that was thrown before 20. He just got some yards after the catch. But they can't get any explosive plays in the run game or the pass game. And they still look slow. They look, and then when it really showed up was with Geno's touchdown run at the end. Like, where is everybody?
Where is everybody? I wonder who leads. I'm guessing Detroit probably has the most explosive plays.
I don't know.
I would
maybe
guess Detroit.
Cincinnati, because maybe they've been in all these shootouts.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong.
Most plays over 20 yards. I'll look that up in just a second.
I was looking at some of the sloppiness around the league, and because like the common theme for the Niners is like they commit a lot of penalties. It's like Baltimore's leading the league in penalties by a long shot, and they're one of the most penalized teams. The Niners are kind of like the bottom of the pack. They're actually not that bad, you know, when you compare it to the rest of the league. But again, we go back to the word situationally. It does feel like they shoot themselves in the foot situationally. The drive after the interception to start halftime the other day, it was like penalty after penalty after penalty. That drive was just completely wiped out by horrific penalties.
No, it was bad. It was bad last week. Let's go to Mike and Hayward. Hey, Mike, what's happening?
How are you guys doing? You know, I've been listening to everybody talk about Shanahan, and I got into a thing with your buddy yesterday about knocking up Shanahan. You know something? Shanahan is not a head coach, man. He's the offensive coordinator. That's a head coach. He needs to go get an offensive coordinator that can change stuff up, and then he needs a coach to team. That's where it's going. Okay, because yeah, he's a great offensive coordinator, but he's not a great coach, man. I mean, he's not a motivator. He don't have enough swag like the other guys, the guy in Detroit. He don't have that. So he needs help. But he's going to look at offensive coordinators. Let's see if he can just be the head coach, okay? Let's just see that. Okay, bye.
Let's go to Kevin in Cupertino. Kevin, what's happening?
Okay, bye.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. 6'1", 180. No need to overanalyze here. It's the lack of the running game in the Shanahan offense. I mean, it's simple. There's no balance in the running game. There's no offensive line push. And so the O-line needs to be addressed. I'm, you know, a Bears fan stuck in 49er territory. So what's changed in the offensive line from this year to last year? I don't know.
Dominic
Cooney. I know it's not sexy to blame the offensive line, right? We want to blame coaches and receivers and quarterbacks. But if the offense is in balance, play action passes work, Brock gets more time, receivers get open. Very simple. Brock does not have to be the leading rusher because the offensive line can't hold a pass block. So it's all predicated on poor offensive line play. Thanks for taking my call.
I don't think that's the only thing. There were a couple of times, like, just again, I'm going with my naked eye. I'm not pretending to be Josh Allen over here or Bill Belichick breaking down film, but there were a couple of times that I thought Brock bailed on what I would consider to be a good enough pocket to throw the ball. Because of his size, I think he really struggles when they get interior pressure right up the middle. I'm not saying he can't be good. I'm just saying this year, it feels like his eyes have gone down and he's had a tough time when that center gets pushed into him to be able to throw over the middle. And you've seen him bail out of pockets that may be bigger, you know, because guys have different skill sets. Kyler will go flying backwards because he can't, you know, step up and climb in right. The pocket. Whereas a Tom Brady or a Josh Allen, and Tom Brady has actually talked about this on the broadcast, like, no, climb in the pocket and make that throw to the crosser or make that throw to the guy breaking backwards on a curl route or something like that. Brock has kind of bailed from some pockets because of his stature this year. And people struggle hearing that criticism. I think it is in part because of his size.
Well, you can't have it both ways, right? Because on one end, the first 5 weeks, it's like, hey, Brock, scramble more. Yay, scramble more. Then all of a sudden, it's like, wait, scramble less. Keep your eyes down the field. There's no happy medium here. You just got to go out there and play football. And I trust Brock's judgment on when to scramble and when not to scramble. So we can't have it both ways. Scrambling is what kept the Niners in the game last week. Scrambling, I think, is what helped you win that football game.
He had to extend
plays. Yeah. Think about Tampa Bay. His scrambling, pardon me, bought time to throw a touchdown pass to George Kittle in the back of the end zone. His legs were able to do that, so we need him scrambling in this offense. You don't have that hitting yardage right now with Christian McCaffrey. You don't have the hitting yardage with Deebo Samuel right now, so where can you get it from? Well, Brock Purdy's providing that with his legs. So I think you need more scrambling with Brock Purdy.
I'm talking on the plays where there's pressure up the middle. On the edges, he did a great job evading a couple of free rushers the other week. There's just I'm just going off of there's a couple of plays where there are plays to be had underneath where you can get some yardage because they've got numbers. And it just feels like when the pocket gets collapsed from the front center, he's struggling to just dump it down.
He's got a bell. Because these D tackles are huge and they're monsters, and if Brindle's getting pushed right back into the pocket,
then you
got to break the pocket. Yeah. You know, you have no choice here. Let's go to Rob in Dublin. He wants to see the Niners throw the ball down the field, and I'm with you, Rob. Where's the nine routes? Where's the go routes, man? Let that thing fly.
Hey, good morning, fellas. You must have saw my text, bro. Hey, man, yeah, let this guy go, man. Defenses are not scheming for cowing. They're not scheming. They're scheming for Deebo, our names. Put these guys out there, get some go routes going. We might get a PI. You never know. We never throw the ball down the field. It's just, it's nerve-wracking, man. It's nerve-wracking. It's just, it's hard to watch because everything is underneath, run, underneath. Come on, man. Put that ball up in the air. Let it fly. You never know. Put a bum on a bum, cowing on whoever. They worst do this. We might just get one. Hey, come on, we gotta keep it.